Thank you, everybody, to join the Latin GP meeting on the 1st of October 2020. In the call, we have Bill, Matt, Michael, Dennis, Michael, Samad, and Pitinan. Over to you, Matt.
Thank you. So in front of us, we have the agenda for today. Anything which is missing? So let's go to here we have more. Right, so let's go to the first issue. So I should have the agenda on the side, I think. Excuse me for a sec.
This is Pitinan. If yes. You like, I can recap this issue from last time.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So this is last time we finished up to the everything to the end, and then we come back for the leftover comments after I review and create the XML. So one of the things we pause is at the reference of Kirun D, as you see on the screen. Mariana checked and found that this code point, I with acute, is not used in Kirun D as per the Omniglot. However, the current reference for the Kirun D is this item 104, which is in Wikipedia, and they have this. So we will discuss whether this Kirun D reference language would be removed from these records, and also do we want to update the reference. And just before we move forward, just to note, I have searched some of the code points only used in Kirun D. So if we remove the Kirun D from here, then later on we might also need to think again whether we need to use which reference for Kirun D. So that's...
If we start here with that Latin small letter I with acute, we have six more references, and we have three more strong references for I with acute. My proposal is that we just remove Kirundi from here. It won't change anything. Won't change the strength of the support for the letter, for the inclusion.
Yes, you're not looking at the participant. We have yes from Michael and Nicole, and we have Bill's hand.
Yes. So Bill, please.
Yes, I agree with you also that we can simply remove it here, but I think that for consistency with the other languages, we should change the Kirundi reference so that it is from Omniglot rather than something from Wikipedia. Thank you.
Yeah, that is fine. But that means that we have to reevaluate Kirundi, all the places where Kirundi is, to make sure that there is a support. The discrepancy between Omniglot and Wikipedia is problematic, I think, for us. But so how many people then have you looked for other places where Kirundi is?
Yes. Yeah,
it is.
Yeah, I didn't look through every records, but let's see. So seems
quite
like
many.
Quite some, and actually the one that would be more problematic is the records, for example, this one.
Yes.
Go down, let me just check. It line 129. 129. Yep. So some of the characters only have Kirundi as reference, and in the Omniglot, it actually don't have this character with diacritics, but in the Wikipedia they do. So I guess this is the discrepancy Matt's mentioned.
Right.
Let me put the link in the chat as well.
So what I think we should do is ask someone to analyze this to see that there might be other sources too, to understand the discrepancy between Wikipedia and Omniglot, and see what effect it has. And the question is if we should be conservative or not, and if we do remove these, I mean, we have to remove that in many places where we have evaluated, say, letters with Caron. So there are actually four letters with Caron that would go away, risk of going away. So, Michael, please.
Yeah, I was wondering whether we or Pitin, Tinan or Sarmat knows anybody who's speaking the language, then maybe we could ask them not to do the decisions for us, of course, but to maybe be able to explain why there is a difference. If they, for example, say like, oh yeah, those tonal diacritics, they are not really used in everyday life, they are just for poems, whatever, then this could make our decision easier. Or if let's say no, these tonal diacritics, we also have them in newspaper, whatever. So I don't know if there's anybody in ICANN with that language we could ask.
Yeah. So, Pitman, and I think it's an excellent suggestion. Sarmad writes that that they can check. So then we create an action point on investigating this, and after Sarmad has found out if there is any source that we could use. I mean, this is a level one language, so it's a little bit surprising that we see that there appears to be instability of writing. So we have to come back to this. Yes, Binnan.
Yep, okay, so take note as we will check with our colleagues.
Yes, if you have any contact. And then I think that we, not to lose time, maybe we should try to investigate in parallel. Do I have any volunteer who could do this? Start to look, do search.
Hey, Matt, not volunteering, but trying to. At some point, I lost the train of thought. What are we dealing with here? Not sure if I understand. Is it the support for certain letters in certain languages? Is that the issue at hand?
Correct. And so the support of the diacritics in Kirundi. And,
and
if that is lost, then for some of the letters, it won't make any difference because there are other letters supporting them. So that
right.
we had I with acute. But here we have four letters in front of us that only Kirundi use according to our mm-hmm. investigation.
Right. And we don't like or we don't feel comfortable with that it's just one language supporting that letter? Is that?
No, if we find out that Kirundi actually don't use it, so we were wrong, so that Wikipedia uh-huh. was wrong, then we have no support for these letters with Keron.
So I think that's the part I missed. How is that? So 104 reference is a Wikipedia reference, and Wikipedia is not longer or has removed the data point that we use to include this in the repertoire? Is that what happened?
No, Dennis. The problem is whether we consider Wikipedia to be an authoritative source or not. And I at least am reluctant to do something with only Wikipedia as a source.
Okay.
But I'd say that when we look at Omniglot, there's is a different message. So here, it doesn't seem like they use the diacritics according to Omniglot, as you can see on the screen. So there's a discrepancy between Wikipedia and Omniglot when it comes to the inclusion of the diacritics.
I'm sorry, you're saying Omniglot does or yes. does not include diacritics?
Does not. Here we have Omniglot.
So, right. So I'm not sure about that. If you open a page on Spanish on Omniglot, just as a way of sample, and because I can relate to the Spanish language, Omniglot does not include the vowels with diacritics, I mean, specifically the acute that we use in Spanish. And I think the reason is because we don't tend to differentiate the regular I and I with acute as different letters, but different tones. I mean, they're using different words, and depending on the words, they have this diacritic or not, right? To emphasize the accent in certain words, but they are not distinct letters.
Yeah, I understand what you mean. And
mm-hmm.
There are other languages where you have diacritics that don't create a new letter. So E with acute in Swedish is not considered to be a different letter as E without any diacritic. So I understand what you mean. And that, but what you do now is that you start this investigation. And I mean, it's a good point that you make. Such a conclusion could be that and the conclusion could be that we still trust the Wikipedia representation, but the issue has been risen and I think that we should go through it. I don't know if it was Bill or Samad first.
It's Bill first and Samad.
Bill, please.
Yeah, to the point that Dennis raises, if we're finding other languages where we have, in the case of Spanish, a native speaker who says, yes, these diacritics are used, but Omniglot shows no signs of them, then do we need to go back and rethink whether Omniglot is an appropriate source to use at all for languages in general? I'm beginning to worry that we may have missed a lot more cases simply because Omniglot didn't happen to include them. And heaven knows there are a lot of code points that are in MSR that aren't in our repertoire, and it would be that could be one reason why we miss them. So I'm a little concerned about whether we may need to do a general rethink there. Thank you.
So Sarmad is next, please.
Thank you. So I think one of the places we can go to see what a language can do is this translation of UN Declaration of Human Rights posted by United Nations. They have translations in 500 languages. So I went and found the translation for Kirundi, and it's on the screen for you to consider. Thank you.
Yeah, and when you look at that, there does not seem to be any diacritics of that kind.
I also shared a more general link for you to see other languages as well, just FYI. Thank you.
Michael, please.
Yes. So I also was starting to look, and I found two references I posted to the chat from Kirundi Wikipedia where those glyphs occur, but I didn't see them throughout. So something's going on, but I don't know details. This would need some research. But in general, I wanted to say that we shouldn't go back and question our initial research. In general, we should just focus on those code points where by removing Kirundi, for example, or by removing this particular reference, we would need either another reference or either another language to support it. I don't think we should go back and question the general validity of certain sources. No single source is authoritative in such a sense. We always need to consult several sources. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Yeah, and my experience is that the quality of the Wikipedia pages are different. So in some cases, they are very good. I'm talking about language descriptions. Sometimes they are very good, and sometimes they are very limited and maybe not as trustworthy. And here there was a text excerpt in Wikipedia. So that's a different thing as a language description. Is that a new hand, Michael, or is it the same hand?
I wanted to comment on what you said.
Yes, please.
I had the feeling you misunderstood. The links I posted are not about Kirundi language. They are Wikipedia articles from Kirundi Wikipedia.
Okay. That's a good...
So it's not about the quality of the analysis or the quality of the source. It's whether they use those signs and glyphs in the writing system. Even if you look at the headings already, you can see them occur there.
So some of them I see there, yes. So I acute is there on 2113. So there's I acute.
There are further ones down below, and there was another page I found where they also used, but I was also looking at, let's say, 5 to 10 other articles from Wikipedia in Kirundi, and I don't see them in all of those. So they might be in restricted use. I don't know. This needs research.
Yes, that's a good point. Are you a volunteer to do the research, Michael?
I can take a look.
Thank you. So, and I think that the your source of using Wikipedia in Kirundi was smart. I like that.
If you put me down for an action item, could you specify a list maybe of code points where we need to verify or falsify if Kirundi is used as the only reference for that? Thank you.
Pietman, can you collect those?
Yes, I can collect those code points.
Yes. So where we have Kirundi as the only source, or where we have just Kirundi and one more, I think that we should focus on. If there are more than Kirundi and at least two more, then it's not as vulnerable. That's my suggestion.
Okay.
Yes. And Michael says that we should look at ordinary text, not something like looks like a song or a poem. And that's probably true. Okay. So let's go to next item in the agenda, which is...
Sorry, Matt. There are a few things I would like to point out as well.
Yes, please do that.
Just on further on in this table, Mariana suggests a better reference for Sovente, and I updated it. So just wanted to point it out to everybody.
So does that mean that Mariana has done a new analysis of the language with that source?
Yes.
Okay, because I mean we there is a risk if we just change reference that reference says something else, and so we don't have real support for it.
Sure, or we can take a look one more time and then we finalize it next week. So this week I just pointed out that this is the updated reference.
So the updated reference is which one?
It's 275 for 70.
And the old one is that still available?
I have to take a look.
Is that the change from Wikipedia to Omniglot? I do not think that Wikipedia in general should be considered to be a bad source for a language description. Sarmad, please.
Yeah, I was going to suggest instead of replacing, just adding additional links for you guys to consider. Thank you.
Yeah, I think that's a good suggestion.
Sure, I can add. Earlier it was 117, which is not in the Wikipedia. Let me try to, for some reason I can copy.
So that means that 117 has been removed, is that?
No, it's still there.
Okay. For a different language or?
It's also for Sovente. This long.
Okay.
So perhaps as Sama suggests, we can keep both.
Well, this one was not reachable.
Yes, possibly.
So Summer Institute of Linguistics does not have a Brazilian domain name anymore. So we, if the link does not work, that's a different story. Did you search for it?
Yeah, search for it. I couldn't find the same thing. So the link is not reachable any longer. This one, the Sale Brazil. Let me try general sleep. Okay, it can be updated to this one. I post the link in the chat. So it still be the Dictionary of Cervantes, but it's not on the Brazil side. It's on the generalsale.org with the same archive number.
Yeah, okay. So then we should keep it.
Okay, so should I also update the link of 117 to be this one as well, I guess?
So I think we should take a look. This is an action point to take a look at those two references, or ask Mirjana if she did, or maybe if she says that she did, and the support of the new references is as good. I guess we can just keep. If they say the same thing, we should keep both of them.
Okay.
So the references, there are six references in four languages. It means that there are more than one reference for some language. Is that the correct interpretation?
Yes, some cases they are multiple reference for one language.
So they're just in numerical order.
Pijanan, you want to note the new link? So that we can update 117.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, let's move on.
Were there more?
One last point. It's here in the just the definition of reasoning in the inscript variance matrix. When I create the XML, I capture this reasoning into the XML comment as well. So there are actually two questions here. One is when it is glyphs nearly identical. When we did for the cross script, the full reasoning will be glyphs nearly identical due to the font design. So I just wanted to check whether it's intended to keep it the same. I already did it the same as the full text as we did in the cross script. If that's the case, then maybe we have to update this part to choose the same text.
My suggestion is that we do, because that it's quite important addition to it. It clarifies our reasoning. Anyone wants to make a comment? Okay, Dennis agrees. Bill, please.
My only comment is I wonder if we want to actually put in some text pointing out that the Latin script occurs in a variety of different fonts, and therefore you can get cases where in some fonts two glyphs are very similar, and in other fonts the same two code points are not that similar. I just wonder if it would be useful to put some text in there to say that explicitly. Thank you.
Yeah, it wouldn't hurt at least to have that text. Do we have a good place here where we could put this?
I can look through before the next meeting and see if I can find a place and draft up some text for us to look at then.
Okay. So we add as an action point. So we do add that text here due to font design, but also to see where we can have some more explanatory text in some good place. Thank you, Peter.
Okay. And then last question which relate to that. This is different. Oh, okay, let me stop here as well. So right now, in the latest Excel sheet that we analyze, when the mark is one or two, more than five, then we make it variance, right? So to me, when I translate that into the XML, I'm not very sure whether I should call it homoglyphs or nearly identical, or it's actually gonna be some other terms. So this is something I would like to ask everybody for some advice.
Well, since homoglyph is already taken in Unicode for something specific, I think it would be better to use a different term there.
Okay. Meiko asked me to explain again. So let me go down to the example. Okay. So for example, in these tables, right, we do the rating by the panels, and the result, if the members vote one or two in total of five above seven, then we make it variance, and this position is blocked for now. It's just that the rationale for this set is become unclear whether I should put the homoglyphs or glyphs nearly identical. And that's the question. One way we can do is I can check if it's like unanimously one, so I put homoglyphs, and for other cases I put nearly identical, for example. Let me follow the chat as well.
Yeah.
This is Dennis.
Yeah, please, Dennis.
Thank you. There are a few. There are a few cases where, for example, I put that on the chat. So, for example, turn E and Schwa, they are all homoglyphs. Not sure if the F and F with a hook would be in the homoglyph category or, you know, borderline nearly identical. But the vast majority, if not everything else, with, you know, those two caveats, are, I believe, in the nearly identical principle instead of homoglyph, because they are not quite identical.
Yeah. Actually, for the F case, I picked the alternate, generally acceptable alternate groups for the F and F vector case. And I think Samad has some suggestion, which is also possible.
Yeah, we have people in the queue here. So I think Michael is first.
Samad wanted to say something, then he can go first, if he likes.
But he hasn't raised his hand.
I put my suggestion in the chat if you want to look at it.
Okay. Yeah, that was similar to something I wanted to say. I think we have some votes where we put a one, even though they are not homoglyphs in the sense that they are what Dennis said, like turned Ian Schwab, but they were very, very, very close to being homoglyphs. So we shouldn't call it strictly homoglyph, but say, like Salma said, homoglyphs or nearly identical. Thanks.
Mako?
Yes, I'm also pro Sarma's suggestion of finding a wording rather than trying to box every choice we made. But if we are going to box any kind of choice we made and categorize it, I don't think it should be on the basis of like numerical factors, like how many people said one, how many people said two. This kind of popped up as a suggestion. I don't think that would work in any case. Thank you.
Bill, please.
Yeah, I like Samrat's suggestion as well, especially because I think for at least some of us, when we were doing the ratings, we rated things as one, which if you make the two glyphs a centimeter tall, they clearly are not pixel for pixel identical, so they're not homoglyphs. In fact, I think the Schwa and the Turn D are the only true homoglyphs we have. Everything else is a matter of how similar is it at normal type size, and do each of us individually think a normal person would be able to spot it or not. So I think we probably should go with Samad's suggestion rather than wrestle with this for very long. Thank you.
Michael, is that a new hand?
No,
okay,
sorry.
So, for me? Okay, so let's go back to the table there where Pietman, where the definition is. So,
sorry, this one.
Okay. So if we call the first one visual variant homoglyph or nearly identical, and then the second one, so what should we call that? Should we still call that glyphs, I guess, plural, or nearly identical? Shouldn't it be plural there, Bill?
Yes, it should be plural.
So can we still have the glyphs nearly identical on two and on the first one it's homoglyphs plural or nearly identical?
Yeah, it would be homoglyphs plural, you're correct.
No E, I think.
Yeah, just an S. And also in number three, it would be alternate glyphs plural as well.
But the first one should then be homoglyphs or nearly identical, right? That's the suggestion from Sarmad, isn't it?
This is Sarmad. I was actually suggesting combining one and two for the XML entry, not changing anything here. Okay. This is what it is. But since we're combining one and two for the final decision for variants in the XML entry, just writing one and two together. So adding, you know, saying homoglyphs or glyphs nearly identical in the XML file. Thank you.
Michael?
Yeah, I just wanted to mention that these indices, one and two, they are not the votes we cast at the checks we did, right? So here it may still be that two is nearly identical because this is not the one vote. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, I understand what it. So then we should renumber. So we combine one and two into one, and three will be two, etc. Right?
This is Pitinan.
Yes.
I think we can keep it as is because when this term has been used in the cross script earlier as well. So if we start changing the if we combine it, then we need to go back and change the cross script variants too. I think it's just that in the XML entry for the inscript variant, I will put this become variants because of the glyphs is either homoglyphs or nearly identical.
Okay.
Would that work?
You won't refer to the indexes?
No. I'll put the full text.
Okay. Mako, please.
Yeah, I just want to say that this is starting to become complex here with discussing back and forth about the categories in this table 9. I think Sarmat was suggesting that we change it at a lower level, more or less in some place lower down where those quote points I mentioned. Maybe that might be a way around this issue. Thank you.
So, okay. Do we have a solution for this?
Yes, I believe so. So for the inscript variants, I will put full text. It's become variants because either homoglyphs or nearly identical.
Okay.
Okay.
That's good.
Thank you. And then there are some texts here that we haven't finalized the last time.
So for pragmatic reasons, this other category by consensus of the panel was understood to be included under categories essentially having identical appearance by design.
Oh, this is Pitinan.
Yes, please.
Yes. I think the question of this paragraph is it seems to try to explain the non-visual variance. It's just that the term here is used the identical appearance, so it's a little bit conflicting.
It is.
So we discussed. I put some suggestion here. It's because I try to follow the definition in the previous table 9. If I suggest generally accepted alternate glyphs, would it be something more in line with the paragraph?
So, Mako, can you please explain?
Yes, I can. You're discussing the comment from Dennis Tan. Are there any examples of variant candidates that are explained by this, right? this is what the debate is about. Because I remember having discussed this already earlier, and I sent an email about this to the group on September 3rd, where I gave examples. And I think Dennis and Bill replied to it, and Dennis said, maybe okay, and Bill said, should be okay. And I copied again the same links I had in the email to the chat, which should be from Cydia, where they are showing that Cydia can be rendered more or less either in traditional Cydia style or just as a comma below. So right. There are characters which are essential by design, and this is one which are essentially, okay, this chat is having a problem with copying links, sorry. But you can see the links in the email.
Michael, so sorry, that's
I shared examples
coming up in the next comment.
So I don't think it, if you look at the text, it talks about things being identical, having essentially characters essentially having identical appearance by design, and it's termed non-visual variant. So I think that Pitner says it doesn't make sense, and I tend to agree. So if it's identical by design, then it's visual variants, not non-visual variants.
This is Pitinan. Nico just wanted to point out the point that you mentioned earlier about Cydia is, it's not this one, but it's coming up in 6.1.6. Thank you.
Is it not the same conceptual issue?
It's different one. Similar comments from Dennis, but it's a different context.
Okay, then I need to read the paragraph to understand what the issue is about to give a more qualified answer. Sorry about that.
Sure.
So if this is about non-visual variant, then what does it say in the diagram one above?
So in this diagram, seems like that paragraph is trying to explain the one on the right, which is the non-variant part of this. Non-visual variant.
Right.
Sorry, let me go down. I think Nico is reading.
So we need some new thoughts about that text and some new some new text, simply. I think this is, I mean, you were the one creating that structure. Could you look at this and try to write something which is not contradictory? If you're speaking, Mako, we can't hear you.
Sorry, I wasn't speaking. I was trying to focus and read. I turned down the volume for a second. Can you repeat your question, please?
Yes. You were the one that came up with this tree structure. Could you go through it and try to write something which is not contradictory as it is now?
I don't see any kind of contradiction. Can you point that out?
Characters essentially having identical appearance by design?
What is contradictory about that?
And we call it non-visual variant.
Could you explain further? I fail to understand somehow what's
okay,
the issue.
If we go up in the diagram above, so the non-visual variants are in identical appearance.
What is your question, Mats? I'm sorry, maybe I'm tired today. Can you please repeat that question?
Right. So the text talked about identical appearance and referred to the non-visual variants. And for me, it doesn't make sense. So this is not about visual, identical visual appearance.
Why?
Well, we have the first example, F and F with hook. They're not identical.
They're not identical, but they're used interchangeably.
Right, but that's a different thing.
So I'm still not quite sure what the issue is. So I find it hard responding to something which I don't quite understand. And maybe could you come up with some suggestions for changes, and then I can think about it or respond to it in some way.
And also SS and S set. Then I mean they are not visually almost visually identical, right? So. If we scroll down to the text, do you think the text matches what the table or the diagram says? Characters essentially having identical appearance by design.
Yes, I still don't have any idea right now. I don't know. I need to think about it with some distance. Maybe something will come to me. But so far I'm having problems understanding where you see like the logical flaw. It's basically dancing around because there is no fixed terminology. So it's just a way of trying to explain the thinking process and like the end poles. But there's no clear terminology for the continuum in between the end poles.
Right.
So this was just a suggestion, but I still don't quite see where there's like a logical flaw or like a opposition in between the suggested by the terminology.
Does anyone else have a thought around this to share as the last minute of the meeting today? Else? Yes, Bill. Okay. So then I suggest that we stop here. We come back to this issue again in a week. Please think about it. Pietnan, if you could just copy the text and send out on the list, so make people think about it. Anyone wants to have a last word before the end of the meeting? Michael says that he wants to join the meeting next week. Yes, Peter. Now.
Yes, just wanted to remind that we have the IDN program updates during the ICANN prep week on the 6th of October, and we have the Latin GP updates there for a short presentation. So just wanted to remind. I will send the invitation out so you have it on your calendar as well.
Thank you. And that means that is next week.
Next Thursday.
Yes, next Thursday.
Tuesday, the 6th on Tuesday. Yes.
So next week, it's the ICANN meeting week. And so I guess that you will be busy. So we won't have any meeting next week.
It's actually okay for us. So it depends on the GP. If you would like to meet, we are okay.
So if it's okay with you, we should have the meeting.
Okay.
ICANN meeting week in 3 weeks, Michael says.
Yes. Yeah,
the main ICANN meeting is not next week. That's in 3 weeks.
So what is next week? You say the 6th?
Yes, what? Next week is the... So this time we make it into 3 consecutive weeks. The first one, which is next week, is the preparation week. And then for the following week, on the 13th to 15th, is the SO and AC, so it's the community week. And then the main meeting will be happening on 17th to 22nd. That's the penalty week. So that's the main week. But okay. Basically, this time is 3 consecutive weeks.
Okay. So we have the meeting in 1 week. Michael would not be able to join us, but the rest of us will be there, and hopefully what's his name? I forgot his name. And Liana and our friend from Egypt will join Hassan. Us next week. Hassan, yes, thank you. So so talk to you next week. Thank you very much for today. Have a good rest of the day or night. Goodbye.
Thanks for leading, Martin.
Thank you.
Thanks, Martin. Bye, everyone.
Goodbye. Bye. Bye-bye.